Blog Talk Radio.
A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. On Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio with your on-air radio personality, Tracy Lawanda. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back with A Word just for you.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host and on-air radio personality, Tracy Lawanda. And today's show is called Uplift Your Mind, Body, and Soul. And my special guest is Dr. Johnston. And before I bring her on and we begin the show, we're going to take a music break and we'll be right back. So stay right where you are. You don't want to miss this awesome woman of God, and you don't want to miss this show because we have a word just for you. So stay right where you are. Are you a holy girl? That's for all the women out there.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Are you a holy girl? Yeah. I know that I am. And welcome back to the show. You're listening live to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda, and I welcome you to the show. And our special guest today is Dr. Johnston. She is going to uplift your mind, your body, and your soul. And before I bring this awesome woman of God onto the show, I would like to share a brief word with you. On A Word for You, we deal with everyday issues using sound biblical principles for understanding and answers. See, these sound biblical principles not only work in the spiritual realm, but also in other aspects of life. And tonight I will be coming out of the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And the Word of God reads, "For I long to see you, and that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." My goodness, spiritual gifts, they come from and are given to us by the Holy Spirit and have the effect of edifying the body of Christ. See, spiritual gifts are special abilities given to believers for ministry and service. These spiritual gifts are not given only to the elite, that is. Each believer receives at least one spiritual gift. Our spiritual gifts are to be used for serving others, for teaching, and for edifying the body of Christ. And that's what I want to share as far as a message. So if you know that you know that you know that you have spiritual gifts or a spiritual gift, then you need to use it to serve other people. You need to use it to teach others, and you need to use it to edify the church. Amen. Well, without further ado, let me introduce my guest today. My guest is Dr. Johnston. She is a minister, songwriter, recording artist, and also a book author. Dr. Johnston will be sharing her story and giving us some golden nuggets. She's compassionate. Her compassion is to encourage and to motivate God's people. And she's also has a compassion to uplift your mind, to uplift your bodies, and to uplift your souls. So without any further ado, let me bring on my awesome guest, Dr. Johnston. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be on the show. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So glad to have you here. Let's go right into it. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are?
Oh, I you know, that's such a loaded question. Well, first and foremost, I want to just share with you, I got your message, and the way you pronounce my first name is Naima.
And
Naima, Naima, yes, it's Arabic. It means gift from God.
Praise
and
God.
I just wanted to encourage you to call me Naima. I know that a lot of times people want to call me Dr. Johnston, but I'm always, sometimes I'm just nay, you know.
Okay.
Naima, right. I'm just really
okay.
Laid back.
All right. Okay, Naima. I got it now.
Yes.
All right.
So Naima. And I'm originally from New York City, born and raised in New York, grew up Catholic. When I was 14, my mother became a born-again Christian. And I went to college, which is a whole other story in and of itself that we do not have time to go into. But I wound up going to college in Ohio and deciding after I graduated that I didn't want to get a job. So I probably should go to grad school because I didn't want to get a job. And I wound up meeting this man and actually lived with him off and on for a couple of months. And he was very abusive and just an awful, awful situation. And one day we were arguing. Now, my mama, and my grandmama had been praying for me for years at this point,
mm-hmm.
but wound up getting into this situation where I wanted to listen to BB and CeCe Winans. Now, if you would have asked me back then if I was a Christian, I would have definitely have told you yes, but I wasn't really. I might have thought in my mind I was, but I wasn't really. But for some reason that day I wanted to listen to this BB and CeCe Winans tape. It was a tape that I had. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to listen to this hip-hop tape, and we just were arguing and bickering and going back and forth. And, you know, he just looked at me finally and he said, you know, are you afraid of me? Because I'll kill you, hide your body, and nobody will ever find you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so serious. I mean, I knew he was serious. And I remember going to bed that night and just crying out to God and saying, you know what, I know there has got to be more to life than this. And I had a friend who had decided right at that same time she was going to return to church. She had grew up in a church. She'd given her life to the Lord. She decided it was time for her to go home. And so I wound up going with her to this church, New Covenant Believers Church in Columbus, Ohio. Bishop Howard Tillman gave my heart to the Lord there, got baptized, and was finishing up graduate school, then worked in higher education for quite some time. And then the Lord shared with me that he wanted me to move to Dayton, Ohio, and I thought that was ridiculous because I didn't know anybody in Dayton, Ohio, and I couldn't understand why I would move even further away from the East Coast where all of my family was. But I was obedient, packed up, moved down to Dayton, and the Lord just kept saying, I've got something for you here. And wound up in this all-white Pentecostal church. And the reason why I laugh is because up until that point in time, first of all, I had no idea there was such a thing as white Pentecostals. I had been saved probably at this point maybe 3 or 4 years and had no clue that there was any such thing. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I watched TBN. I don't know why I thought that. But mm-hmm. I wound up in this all-white Pentecostal church. It was the only African-American there. And at that particular point in time, they were needing a youth pastor, and they were needing a music minister.
Mm.
And two very interesting men came into my life at that point in time. Pastor Freddie Rodriguez, who some people may know, he just recently signed with Integrity Music. He's Integrity Music's newest mm-hmm. artist. Light in the Darkness is his album. And then Pastor Tim Winton, who was the youth pastor, who actually recruited me to begin to sing and to lead worship for the youth group. And it was really interesting because for years I had been told, I'd always wanted to be a singer, but I had been told that I probably wasn't good enough and that I should mm-hmm. give it up. And so I had just kind of let that dream go, you know, just like, okay, I'm not good enough, I'm not even going to try, which is why I actually wound up going to graduate school as well. I mean, I didn't want to get a job, but originally my thought was I went to college to be an opera singer, and they told me I wasn't good enough, and so I wound up saying, okay, well, I don't want to get a real job, so I might as well work in higher education, so let me go to graduate school. It was that kind of thinking process. But God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, he just kind of sets you up on this path, and if you're willing to be obedient, his will be done in your life. And so I wound up leading worship for this youth group, and I remember telling Pastor Tim at the time, I don't know anything about leading worship. You know, I haven't sung in years. He's like, oh, just get up there, let the Lord lead. And he said, just get up there and, you know, let the Lord lead you. And so I got up there and started to lead worship, and the Lord began to teach me things about leading worship. And my best friend wound up getting married on this beach in Jamaica. And I remember sitting there studying for an exam, because at the time I was also working on my PhD. And I was like, Lord, this is just not cool. I was like, we're in Jamaica, and I'm sitting here. This is not what I want to do with my life. And the Lord was like, good, because this ain't what I called you to do. You know, I called you to sing. And I was just flabbergasted, because my thought was, you know, so many people can sing. I mean, the church is filled with people who can sing. Why would you want me to sing?
Right.
And the Lord was like, don't worry about other people. I'm telling you, this is what I want you to do. And so it became this whole process of the Lord beginning to speak to me about following the dream that he had put in my heart, you know, when I was a little child, and actually showing me that the dream he had put in my heart was not for my glory. It wasn't to be Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey. It was to share his love with the world. And that dream became more and more, it becomes every day more and more important to me to share the love of Christ with people, not only now through music, but through preaching and teaching, through the arts and education. And so in a nutshell, that's kind of my testimony, the briefest way that I could possibly think of putting it together and getting it out there to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now you have brought us into your life of who you are today, what God is doing in your life today. I want you to take us back, take our listeners back. I read in your bio that you tried to attempt suicide at the very tender age of 14 years old. What brought you to that state of mind to want to do that?
You know, it's so interesting because when I look back now, I can clearly see it as a plot, you know, of the enemy to take me out before I could fulfill the destiny that God has for me. And I actually grew up in the projects in the Bronx, in New York. My father was there, which is kind of interesting because usually when people tell stories, I grew up in the Bronx, in the projects, you don't usually hear, oh, well, my father was in the house. But my father was in the house. He worked, oh gosh, he worked so hard, and then he went to school at night, and he worked so hard and he went to school at night, but for some reason I just really felt like I was missing something, like I wasn't good enough. And I think it might have stemmed from the fact that I had always struggled with my weight, and my parents, you know, they do the best they can at the time with what they know, and so they were always kind of on me, you need to take care of this, you need to lose this weight, and I think that made me feel like I wasn't good enough on some level, just the way I was, because I was a chubby kid. And so when I turned 13, I met this boy. For me, you know, everybody has their stuff, and for me, my issue has always been some kind of relationship with some kind of man. I mean, that has always been my thing. But I met this boy, lived down the hall from us, and I wound up getting into a very intimate relationship with him. And he was 16, I was 13, and it was really improper. I mean, it was a sexual relationship, it was really improper. And so I found myself, and I know some people may not understand this, but I found myself married at the age of 13 because, you know, once you have that type of relationship with a person, you're that intimate with them, your soul is tied to them. And it just was devastating because I had this whole picture in my mind of how this thing was going to play out. You know, we were going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. He was going to love me forever. And as soon as we got old enough, we were going to get married. And we had a baby beforehand, and it didn't really matter. I mean, just crazy, just thinking crazy. And what wound up happening, of course, was that he treated me, you know, terribly. And it was, you know, I'd never date you, you know, you're not at all what I want. You just, you know, we're just friends who like to hang out. And I was just like, no, it has to be more than that. And I was just so devastated, and I felt so used and so abused that I was just done. I was like, you know, what's the point of living? This just doesn't make any sense. I just want to die. And I remember being in the park with some friends and telling them, you know, I'm done. I'm just ready to be done. And that night I had taken some, now this goes to show you how silly I was, but I took all this aspirin, which, looking back on this, God's grace, because my father at the time was on this medication, and I'm sure if I really wanted to kill myself, I could have taken that medication. It probably would have done the job. But I took all this aspirin and wound up getting really sick, and they called the ambulance, and they took me to the hospital. They pumped my stomach. It was the worst experience ever. And I wound up going to the psychologist afterwards, and, you know, she would ask me all these questions. I was just kind of looking at her like I couldn't tell this woman, you know, that I was 14 years old and I was in this really strange relationship. I just couldn't tell her that. I can tell that story now because looking back on it, one, I understand that it was a plot of the devil to take me out, but two, also because I want at any age, any woman to understand and know how much she's worth. You know, you don't have to give that most precious part of yourself away to gain love when you have the maker of heaven and earth so deeply in love with you. And had I known that and really understood that at 14, I would have been much stronger and I would have not done a number of things that I'd done because all that did was set me on this really bad path of being promiscuous and drinking and cutting school and carrying on. But, you know, even in all of that, God's grace, he kept me because so many of my friends fell and so many of my friends wound up with 7 or 8 kids and having 5 and 6 abortions and going to prison and selling crack and all this stuff happened. And it always seemed like I would do just enough to be bad but not enough to permanently damage my life. And then my father wound up sending me to college. And it was there that my life really took a turn. It wasn't that I became a Christian, but I found myself in a place where those things just weren't as important. There was so much to do and so much to learn, and there wasn't really opportunity for me to get involved with anybody until I got to grad school and I met the guy who said he was going to kill me. So that was that whole story behind that, and it's interesting now because I talk to people sometimes who tell me that they're just done. They just want to be done with life, and you know, if they were dead, it wouldn't matter. And to think, you know, to be able to share with them my experience, and then to tell them, you know, God created you for a unique purpose. There's something on this earth that only you can do, and if you take yourself out before time, then that's not going to happen. And how many people are going to be affected by that if you don't live the life God has called you to live through his power, through his love? Yeah.
And I also read about, and you did mention it, about your struggle with an eating disorder. What was that like?
Well, you know, that's a real interesting thing because I moved from being promiscuous to trying to figure out ways to comfort myself or to feel loved. And so I began this lifelong battle with my weight and with compulsive overeating, which is where you binge, you eat large quantities of food, you can't stop yourself. And then there was a time when I was in college, I was actually bulimic, and so, you know, I was throwing up things that I ate, and then I found myself my senior year actually in the hospital and got out and found a 12-step program. I was going to a 12-step program and was uncomfortable in some ways, but it was really comfortable because I began to learn some things about myself and began to deal with some of my stuff, you know, my emotions and dealing with those emotions. But when I became a Christian, I was still going to these 12-step programs and started to really lose a great deal of weight, and then had an elder tell me that going to a 12-step program was not of God, and that I was automatically healed, and that I needed to stop going. And the interesting thing about this particular story is that I did stop going. And 10 years later, after this had happened, I have a really funny video on my YouTube channel about this story. But 10 years later, I found myself 100 pounds heavier and as a Christian. Now, I'm a Christian. I know the power of God. I know that I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm saved, I'm set free, but I find myself 10 years later 100 pounds heavier and stuck behind the wheel of my car, which, you know, doesn't sound like a funny story. When I tell it, it's a funny story because I always tell people,
I listen
to go
it.
Ahead and
it
laugh.
Is funny. I listen to it. It is funny, yes.
it's a funny story. So, you know, when I found myself stuck, I, of course, started to laugh because it was just kind of like, this is ridiculous, you know. That's the kind of relationship I have with Jesus. I was like, this is straight crazy, and I need you to help me with this thing. because I just can't do it on my own, and so I need your help. And so a couple of things happened. I went back to the 12-step program, but I also found this ministry, a wonderful ministry, Celebrate Recovery. It comes out of, I believe, Saddleback Church, Purpose Driven Life. It's run by that church. And it's all about how Christ gives you the power to overcome whatever hurt, hang up, addiction, or habit you have. But every day you have to surrender, because every day you can make a choice not to surrender to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And I had to deal with that, because in the back of my mind it was like, you know, well, aren't I healed? Aren't I saved? Aren't I set free from this thing? Why do I have to work this program every day? Why do I have to go to these meetings? And, you know, the Lord began to speak to me about that. And one of the things that he said to me was first, don't worry about what other people think. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the first thing. And then the second thing he began to say to me was, you know, some people get healed automatically. Some people got to walk through a situation for a reason, for a testimony, because they need to be able to share that information with others. And the third thing is simply that my own will cause me to run amok if I give it an opportunity to run amok. And every day, all a 12-step program is every day getting up and saying, Lord, I know you are the creator of heaven and earth. I cannot do this thing. This thing, whatever your habit, you know, my issue is food, even though food is really only a symptom, because it's really about being able to surrender your will to Christ. I can't do this thing, so I need you to step in and be Lord of my life today, because I'm only promised today. Yesterday is gone. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Today, I need you to step into my life. Take control. I yield it all to you. You have to do this thing through me. And then it's all about, you know, making amends. Who did you wrong while you were caught up in your sin and your shame and your suffering? You know, who do you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive yourself? And seeking the Lord daily to know his will for your life. And then sharing that information with others so that they no longer have to suffer. Because some people are healed automatically. You know, I know God heals. I know he can choose to heal you right. You've got cancer, you heal right now. But sometimes some people have to go to the doctor. I don't know his ways. I don't understand why he does that. But he does do that sometimes. You know, sometimes you've got to be healed the old-fashioned way, and sometimes it's the ultimate healing where the answer is no, it's time for my child to come home. You have to be at peace with that. So that, you know, I try to be as open and as honest as possible, because I think that a lot of times ministers and Christians and people who work in full-time ministry, we have this persona that we've got it all together and there's nothing wrong, but I still struggle in that area. Every day I have to say, I can't do this.
Right.
You know, I need you to do. And sometimes, to be quite honest, I trip. I fall and I find myself in a place I don't want to be. I have to repent and turn around and run back and get it together. So, and I really want to share that with people. So.
And it's so important, because especially within the body of Christ, so many people are dealing with that issue. I do myself have an issue with eating as comfort, like when I'm stressing or when I'm feeling sad. I use it as, this is my emotional stimulation. It's a commercial that they, I don't know if they no longer play it, but they would talk about the Lay's potato chips, how you can't just eat just one. And I would think back and I say, well, how can you not just eat a whole bag? I mean, come on now. With me, it was the whole bag. It was not one. I would eat some and then I would roll the bag back up and say, okay, I'll eat the rest tomorrow. And then later on, I would be eating it. It's like, because food is comforting for some people. So I think it's very important that you share that part of your life with others, because there are people that are dealing with that issue as we speak, and using food as comfort, and it's becoming actually an eating disorder. So I thank you so much for keeping it real and being real. I just find that that's the best way to be. And so many people that are walking in quote-unquote ministry, they're not real with people because they're not really being real with themselves. So I appreciate you for that. I truly do. And before we go on to the next part of the show, I do want to play one of your songs. I don't know the name of it, but you can give us the name after after I play it, okay? So everyone that's listening, we have Naima with us today, and you don't want to go into any other show. You want to stay right where you are because she's going to come back with some more golden nuggets. And here's one of her songs, and she'll let us know what it's called after we listen to it. So stay right where you are.
Do you remember you give me daily bread, and every sparrow by your hand is fed? Do you remember to wipe my tears, chill my pain, call the angels off my name? Oh, no, man, oh, seeing God, I am glad. There was something you forgot. Oh, my sins, every lie, every heart, I make a person cry. I am angry, my selfishness. On my own, there's no deed except the blood from Calvary's cross, shed and applied to save the lost. Now I can share without the fear. The Spirit of God is always near. Forgive us forever. The Lord forgot. Forgive us forever. Cause the Lord forgot. Forgot all my sins. Every lie. Every time I made a person cry.
Welcome back to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening live to A Word for You. This is your on-air radio personality as well as host, Tracy LaWanda. And my special guest today is Dr. Naima Johnston. And we just listened to that awesome song. When I heard it, I was just like, oh, it was just so peaceful. And you can just hear the Jesus and the anointing all in it. So right now, tell us what's the name of the song and what inspired you to write it.
The name of that song is The Lord Forgot. And I wrote it a couple years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago. I was walking, but I just recently recorded it, actually. I was walking around the house cleaning up, you know, doing the chores, and I found myself thinking about all of the awful things that I had done as a teenager. It was just like this condemnation came on me, and it was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, I did this, and I did this, and I'm making this list. And I began to talk to the Lord, and I was like, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry for that time when I was 16 years old, and I did this, and I did that. Yeah. And the Lord spoke to me, and he was like, you know what? I have no idea what you're talking about. He was like, when you gave your heart to me, I cast those sins as far as the east is from the west. I have no idea what you're talking about. Because it wasn't stuff that I'd done after becoming a Christian that I repent. These were things that, you know, I had done as a child or as a teenager that I was feeling really just like, oh, my gosh, I don't believe I did that. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I got so overwhelmed because I think, you know, you understand forgiveness.
Yeah.
When you become a Christian, you understand, you know, the saving power of Christ. You understand salvation. But I think that was the first time I understood it, but I think it was the first time that I really understood that I wasn't guilty of that stuff for real. Like, it was more than just mentally I knew it. Like, it got down in my spirit. And so I began to think about all the things that God remembers, you know, how awesome he is. You know, he remembers to make the sun rise, and then it sets, and the moon comes up, and the tide comes in, and the birds are flying, and we're breathing, and there's all these people, and he knows all the hair on every one of our heads, and, you know, he knows everybody's name. I mean, it just became overwhelming. I began to think about all this stuff that he remembered to do, and then I began to think about, well, you know, he forgave me, he forgave everybody else who has confessed him as Lord and Savior. Wow, how about all the stuff he forgot? And so it just kind of became this really strange little song.
Really, oh, which I love. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'll have to send you a copy. Song.
Yeah, please do. I totally enjoy listening to it. And so what type of, describe your music with our listeners. What type of music would you say that God has gifted you with? I know it's gospel, but what type?
That's a good question. It's interesting because I came out of this very traditional, you know, African American Pentecostal heritage is what we called ourselves, church in Columbus, Ohio. And then I came to where, you know, we listened to Marvin Sapp and Fred Hammond and CeCe Winans, you know, Men of Standard. We listened to that. And although I sang in the choir occasionally, I didn't even sing in the choir the whole time because they wound up having me do some other work at that church. I was still in love with music and very aware of it. That music influenced me somewhat. When I went to the church in Dayton, Ohio, they listened to a totally different genre of music. They listened to contemporary Christian, and it was there that I was introduced to people like Nicole Nordman and Chris Rice and Casting Crowns and Out of Eden, you know, Toby Mac, groups like that. Even though nowadays you see it much more of a crossing of groups, but back then it really was two separate genres. And so I had this African-American, or what they like to call urban gospel, and I had this contemporary Christian music that everyone around me was playing, and the songwriting was so, like, deep and intense, and I'm listening to this, and this is the kind of music that we're doing for worship because, you know, it's the type of church we're at. And so what wound up happening was I created this kind of strange, not that I meant to, but it became this kind of strange fusion of the two. Somebody once told me, they were like, you know, you have a really unusual style. I guess it was after I led worship at an event, and I was like, okay. And they said, you know, you're like too black to be white and too white to be black. And I thought that was the funniest thing I had ever heard, because one of the things that God has really laid in my heart is to be a bridge builder, you know, to be a reconciler of God's people between the races. Too much division. Jesus is coming back. We all going to be in heaven together. Don't matter if you like bluegrass, country Christian, you know, hip-hop, or God. We all going to be there together, so we better get it together. Too many people dying in hell and going to hell over petty things. And race is one of those petty things. We need to let it go. Let the blood cover all the stuff that was done in the past, because the blood is that powerful. And let it go. And so God has really kind of called me to do that. And so the music comes out this really strange kind of type. We call it we call it herbspirational worship. I mean, that's kind of our name for it. I often find myself, people will invite me and they'll say I'm a gospel singer, and then after they hear me, they'll say, no, you're more of a contemporary Christian singer. So it's always real interesting. I kind of let people make up their own mind.
Wow. Well, it's wonderful, and it's truly, you know, a spiritual gift from God. So what inspires your music?
Things that people say, well, you know, first and foremost, the Lord, of course, he inspires my music. I just, I want to write stuff that ministers to his people, and I want to write stuff that blesses his heart. Those are my two biggest things, because I think some people are called to evangelize, and I really believe that we all have that responsibility, but I think primarily I'm an encourager, I'm an edifier, and so I'm more into, for me, relationship evangelism and then an encourager of God's people. And I think all of that kind of comes out in the things that I write and how I write. But most of the songs that I write are based on things that happen around me or things that happen to people that I know or things that the Lord is teaching me. I wrote this song about ripples. About ripples in a pond and how, you know, when you throw a stone in a pond, the ripples get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they go out really wide. And that's how we are. We're supposed to be stones that are thrown into a pond, and these ripples go out, and they affect the water. So how what we do affects everything and everybody around us and how we need to be aware of that. And that song was birthed out of my God, brother, bless his heart. He decided a couple years ago that he was just done. He was done. He was tired of working in ministry. He was done. He was going to go do what he wanted to do. And in the midst of this, he wound up meeting this woman, and she lived in Canada, and he runs away to Canada to be with her. And then, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit ain't going to let you go that easy. Not when you got a calling on your life, bruh. So he had to come back, and she was devastated. He came back, and so she winds up going to church to kind of figure out what all this stuff is about and winds up giving her life to the Lord. And they wind up getting married, working together in ministry, having these babies. And he was the one that inspired the song, because when he made the decision that he didn't want to work in ministry, it caused chaos, confusion, and a massive uproar in our not only in our family and in our home, because I lived with them, so not only our family and our home, but in our church. It was just this massive mess. Yes. And that's a lot of times that's how I deal. You know, something going on, I'm gonna write a song about it. That's why I tell people, you better leave me alone, because you might be in a song and then you'd be mad. But praise God, like I said, they're both working in ministry now. They've got two beautiful children, just had one 2 weeks ago, a little boy, and just they're in love with Jesus. She's awesome. She's just an awesome woman of God and learning in love with the Lord. God really blessed. God really blessed. Made a blessing out of a mess.
Look at that. Yes. Oh, I just love it. And it's, I mean, everything you said is on point, that if God has called you, no matter where you want, run to the east, south, north, or west, he's gonna finish what he started. I mean, it's like it's like we're just like, okay, like you were saying about him being tired. You know, many times I know that many people in ministry get to that point in their life where they do get tired. And but if you know that God has called you for such a time as this, the only thing we can do is continue to stand, press, and push. You know, until our Lord and Savior comes back. Now, that book, the book that you wrote entitled Call to Sing, 13 Mistakes to Avoid When Starting Out in Music Ministry. Share with us a little bit about that book.
Well, when the Lord called me to go into full-time music ministry, you know, when I started leading worship, I didn't know exactly where it was all going to lead. I just knew I was supposed to be doing music ministry, but I didn't know exactly what that meant. And when the Lord called me to go into full-time music ministry, and he laid down a date, you know, I want you to leave your job and go into full-time music ministry. And I had a really good job. I just bought a house. I bought a house maybe like a year before this all happened. And there were just some things that I should have done that I didn't do. Some of it was just I thought I already knew, and so I didn't consult the Lord about, you know, just foolishness. Some of it was basic wisdom that I should have taken care of some things before I blindly rushed into doing it. And some of it was I was just so overcome and overwhelmed and fearful about this thing. I was going to do it. I was going to be obedient. God told me to go to music ministry, but do it. But I was just so afraid, you know, just like, oh, my gosh. And so I quit my very well-paying job and started on this path, and I did probably the first 2 years, I did everything wrong, which resulted in the third year where I had to make a decision, you know, to either continue in full-time music ministry or to give up my house, because I couldn't afford it at that point anymore. I couldn't afford to live there. And I couldn't afford to live there because I had made such poor choices and done things so terribly awful the first few years. Things like, you know, I had this thought in my mind, well, God called me so because he called me, people are just going to line up and ask me to come share my ministry. And it doesn't work like that. You know, the word tells us faith without works is dead, and go into all the earth and make disciples. And I'm sitting at home waiting for these phone calls that never came. And God began to instruct me, you know, and then it was like, well, Lord, I don't want to promote myself, you know. I don't want to call them folks saying, can I come share my ministry with you? And the Lord was like, you know what, you're not promoting yourself, you're promoting me and the word that I put in you. I died for you. Hello, the least you could do is pick up a phone for me.
My goodness.
Oh my God. That's why I tell people, you know, if you know God has given you a dream or you have a calling, and you don't know what to do, you feel like you don't have what you need to do it, or if you're afraid, I always refer them to Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, Gideon, because Gideon was like, Lord, I can't do this. And the Lord was like, you better go with the strength you have because I'm going with you. That's all
I
you
know,
need.
That's right.
That's all you
need.
My
goodness.
No, and if I had really spent some time seeking the Lord and I had not been so fearful and afraid and just sitting still, I could have avoided a lot of problems. And I found I had this idea in my mind about music ministry. So my thought was, you know, I'm going to full-time music ministry and then I'm going to explode and I'm going to be on the radio and I'm going to be on TVN and I'm going to be traveling the world, you know, because the Lord said I'm going to sing the nations and I'm going to do all this stuff. And what I've come to understand is that maybe I will and maybe I won't, but that doesn't define whether or not my music ministry is successful. What defines if my music ministry is successful is it bearing fruit? Are people being touched? Are they being encouraged? Are they being blessed? You know, are they hearing the word of the Lord? That's what is being successful. And the other day I got, not the other day, kind of a couple months ago, I got a report from iTunes. My music is on iTunes. And it said that I had had some downloads from iTunes Japan. And the Lord was like, I told you he was going to sing to the nation. And I started to crack up because it's true. If people in Japan are buying my music, well, that's not America, so I guess I am singing to the nation.
Oh,
you know, you have to be faithful with what God has given you and trust him for whatever or however big that thing may get or be. And I keep running into these artists, or I would keep running into these artists, and what I found out was that people really defined my ministry as successful because, one, I was doing it full-time, and I wasn't starving. And I was doing like 80, 90. I do 80 or 90 ministry engagements a year. And people were like, well, you know, how do you do that? You know, what did you do? And I would get into these long conversations, and these people would take up hours of my time wanting to know everything that I knew. And so I was like, I should just put this in a book. And the Lord was like, yeah, you should just put it in a book. Put it in a book. So
yes.
I sat down, and I wrote this book to share with other artists because there are so many people out there who want to do ministry full time, but they don't have any idea how to get started or how to do it. And even if I think the book is helpful, even if you don't want to do music ministry, if you just want to build a ministry, I think that there are a number of things in the book that could definitely help you. But the most important, of course, is, and I talk about in the book, one, you know, don't be too busy to pray because that'll mess you up. That'll mess you up. But also, this whole idea about how you define success. You know, everybody can't be C.C. Winans. Everybody's not going to be Donnie McKirkland. Some of us are called to travel the country in our cars and minister to God's people. And maybe nobody will know our name is like, you know, like we know C.C. Winans' name. But that at some point that has to become okay because that's God's will. It just has to become okay. I just got back from Wisconsin. And I sing at nursing homes, and they give me a little love offering. It's nothing huge. They give me a little love offering to help me with my gas. It's a half an hour out of my time. And yes. It so blesses the people that are there because people don't visit them. You know, a lot of times you may be the only friendly face that they see, and I stand around and I talk to them. Well, I was at this nursing home, and it was so funny because I was driving there, and I noticed was the Lord. He put this song in my heart. Now, when I tell you this song, you may not remember it, but it was a song from Sesame Street. It was Sing a Song, Make It Simple to Last. And you know what? I started to sing it, and the more I sang it, the better I felt. Then I started to change the words. I was like, sing his song, make it simple to last your whole life long. You know, and then I got to the nursing home, and I sang it with them. And they, oh my gosh. And I walked out of there, and I was like, that's ministry.
Oh,
that's
hallelujah.
That is enough.
Yes.
That is enough. So, because one day I'm going to see these people again. I've encouraged them, and God is going to count that to my account. And I'm going to see these people again. When I see them, they're not going to be frail. They're not going to be sickly. You know, they're going to say, I remember that time you came to the nurse. I probably won't even know who they'll be then because they'll be all young and beautiful.
Right, yeah.
Remember that time you came to the nursing home and you sat with me and sang that song. And it has to be enough. That's true success.
I'm just so emotional. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit because everything you're saying is on point. So many people want, like, they go into ministry, either they want to be behind the pulpit or they want to be recognized, as you said, C.C. Wyman and those people. But as you stated, we are successful in what we're doing for the Lord. I mean, our reward is that mansion that's in heaven. That's our reward, and being able to praise God and nobody will have to stop us. I mean, it's not about being behind a pulpit, just going to a grocery store, maybe saying like an encouraging word to someone. That's ministry right there. Because right now we need encouragement. Even though David said, you know, he had to encourage himself, still people need that little extra from someone else, you know, to keep them uplifted in the times that we're in. And I really, truly thank God for you. I thank God that not only for you, but that you are heeding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you are allowing God to use your vessel to bring happiness and encouragement through music and through your words. And my thing to say to you is that you just keep doing what you're doing because you have encouraged me, because I also sing and things of that sort. But it's like you were saying, it's like, you know, what am I going to do with it? I mean, am I really called to do this? And you just really spoke life into me. So someone that's listening right now, Naima, could you tell them, could you encourage them, if they know that they've been called but they have these doubts that they can't do it, could you give them a word of encouragement?
You know what I would say to you? I would say go forward in the doubt, because God loves you that much that he's not going to have you out there doing the wrong thing. That has always been my issue. What if that's not really God? What if God hasn't called me to sing? What if I'm making a mistake? You know, you want to be so right with God that you're constantly questioning whether or not the calling that he's given you is right. But you know what I believe? If God has put something so deep in your heart, if you are so passionate about something, that's what you're called to do. I think a lot of times we make it too super spiritual and too deep. You know, I got to fast and pray. And I'm not talking about I just want to say I don't have no, God hasn't gifted me in that area, because there are people like that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, I will never be an artist. Like, my brother's an artist. I'll never be. I wish, but no. It's that thing that you're passionate about and naturally gifted in. That's the thing, or it's that concern or that burden or that problem that you want to fix. That's that's your calling. You know, you don't teenage pregnancy, that's my thing. Oh, you know, I really want to talk to these girls. I want to help the ones that have had children already to be good mothers, godly mothers, and I want to keep the rest from not. Okay, that's what you called it. You passionate about it. That's the problem you want to fix. Get to work. When God told Nehemiah to build the wall, all God said was, Nehemiah, go rebuild my wall. He didn't say, Nehemiah, I want you to get 10 bricks, and I want you to stack them 10 bricks and then get the mortar and put the mortar down, and then this is how you make the mortar. He didn't do that. He said, go and build a wall. Rebuild the wall, and that's what Nehemiah went and did. We make it too difficult. So if you're listening out there and you got a passion, something burning in your heart, I believe that that is what God has called you to do, and God loves you so much that if he don't want you to do it, trust me, he'll let you know. He'll be like, mm-mm, this way, or no, don't do that, or, you know, it won't be this major thing. You know, I read not too long ago, it's one of my favorite, and I wish I could, it's in 2 Corinthians, but I can't think of the exact place where it is now. But there is a scripture, and it talks about God's will for our life is to be prayerful, to be thankful, and to be joyful. Those three things. And then there's another scripture that says God's will for our lives can be known. You know, and so if you have that, and you know that you've got these things, okay, I need to be prayerful, I need to be thankful, I need to be joyful. I've got this issue, this burden, this passion.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pursue these things, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to do it with a heart pure to advance the kingdom for the glory of God. There it is. It doesn't have to be that deep. I really don't think it has to be.
Right.
You know, and I think God will let you know. Because sometimes, you know, there's issues. It's not the time, or it's not the right season, or wait a minute, or you need this training, or let me talk to you. Okay, so you have to have your ear open. But that thing that God has dropped in your spirit, that's the thing you got to do. And do it, you know, as unto the Lord. And he'll bless it.
Amen. Now, for those who say, I can't hear God speak. I don't know that, I mean, I know that he's speaking, but I can't hear him. What advice can you give to a person that has that issue?
Oh, that's a good one. You know what? I would spend a lot of time in the Word, in the actual Bible, because the answer to every question is in the Word.
Hallelujah.
Anything you need is in the Word, and God will speak to you using the Word. You just need to get in it. And then you really have to believe. And sometimes it's a question of sitting still long enough for God to speak. And I know we don't have time to even go into that story, but I have this whole story about, you know, how in 10 seconds I wanted to hear more from the Lord, and I wanted to be intimate with him. I just wanted to be able to sit in his presence, and I would sit for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I wouldn't hear anything, and I would get frustrated. And then one day I kind of heard this laughter, and it was God. He was laughing at me. And it wasn't like laughing at me like, aha, you dumb. It was more like, you know what, you are silly. Look, you said these are the things you wanted. Now sit still long enough, you know, to hear from me. But it starts with the Word. You got to be in your Word. You want to hear the voice of God, start with your Word. Get in your Word. Just stay in your Word. And ask him to speak to you. It's that simple. Lord, I really need to know what you want me to do. I really need to hear from you. And then believe that he'll speak. And sometimes he'll speak through someone you know. Someone you know will say something. You'll be like, what? What? Okay. That's happened to me, too. It isn't always Naima, thus saith the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes it's, you know, I need an answer to the question. And then I read a scripture, and that's the answer. Or, you know, I talk to some random person, and they say to me, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, oh, wow. So he'll talk in many different ways. You just have to be patient, believe that he will, and stay in his Word.
Hallelujah. My goodness. Whew, I'm full right now. But I do want to welcome the guests that are in the chat room, and there's also a comment to you. I want to welcome Chester T. Veshik, I believe. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. And I want to welcome guests 2918 and guest 3018. I also want to welcome Real Talk with Tanya White. Welcome to the show. We also have someone on the line, on the switchboard, area code 862. Welcome to the show. And the comment that I have in the chat room is to tell her thank you for her acceptance and sharing it. I needed to hear this.
Oh, they are more than welcome. You know, sometimes it's a little difficult because you don't want to put yourself so wholly out there. But I find that, you know, it's easier to share the love of Christ. It's easier just to be me to do that.
Yes. Yes.
So I appreciate her comment or his comment, whoever's comment. I appreciate it.
And now, what is the drive that compels you to help those in ministry? Because I believe I read somewhere, I don't know if it was an email that you sent me, that stated something to that effect. What is the drive? What just drives you, you know, to help people?
You know, it becomes deeper and more passionate every day. And it really is, I mean, it's a couple of different things. It's knowing that hell is real. It's knowing that lots of Christians are living their lives and they're miserable because it's not what they're doing work, and they're going to make it to heaven, but they're not doing the work that they were created to do. And that really is it, you know, a fear of people losing out, living their whole lives and never achieving their God-given destiny and goals because they felt like they didn't have the right resources, or they felt like, you know, they were inadequate, or they were fearful, or they couldn't do it. But if the maker of heaven and earth is behind you, you can do it. You can do whatever that is. And it's never too late. I talk to so many people, and they're like, well, I used to have this dream, you know, for ministry, but, you know, I can't do it now because I'm 50 or I'm, you know, 55. You know, last time I heard what somebody told me the other day, they was like, don't you know 50 is the new 30? I said, I thought 40 was the new 30, so I guess I must be 20. And they were like, I guess so.
My. Wow.
You know, but the word is the word, and God will restore everything that the cankerworm ate up.
Yes.
You know, as long as you got breath in your body, you got time.
Mm-hmm.
You got time.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
That's it. That's it. This whole fear of, you know, and then I have this belief. And what I believe is, I said a little bit earlier that, you know, everybody is called to do something specific. There's something only you can do. And when you don't do that thing, then so many other people are affected. You may never know who they are. So when you're called to do something, you're called not to do it for you. You're called to do it for all these other people. So if you don't do what you're supposed to do for all these other people, then all these other people don't do what they're supposed to do for all these other people. It's like, you know, this ongoing, it's this ripple effect.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways that's why the church is struggling. And I think that's why we see our nation going the way it's going in so many different areas. And And why people think we're, you know, a lot of people, you talk to people all the time, all you Christians are hypocrites, look what's going on, and, you know, in your churches, and you're mean to each other, and you can't get along, and every time I turn around, some pastor's on the news, and because people don't do what they're supposed to do to minister life to others or to build others up, and that has eternal consequences.
Definitely. Definitely. Real Talk with Tanya White says, amen, Naima, amen.
Hello, Tanya. Tanya is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
She is. She is. She was actually the second, I believe the second or the third guest when I started the show a year ago that I had on my show, and I had a wonderful time with her, and I thank God for her also. I want to see if this caller, I don't know if the caller is just listening or he or she has a question or comment. So let me check and see what's going on.
Okay.
Area code 862, you're live on the air with a word for you. Do you have a question, comment, or are you just listening? Okay, well, thank you once again for coming on the show and listening.
I was just listening. I just thought it was a great show.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for supporting the show. And I'll put you back on mute, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Wow, all right. So, okay, and we have Sisters just joined us. Welcome to the show. Real Talk, Tanya White says, thanks, ladies, for the wonderful words. Well, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. So let us know, let our listeners know, Naima, how we can go about getting your CD as well as your book.
Well, you can always, of course, visit me online at www.naimajohnston.com. And Naima is spelled N-A-I-M as in Mary, A, Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N. .com. So NaimaJohnston.com. Of course, you know, you can go in there, you can get the CD, you can get the book, all the links are there. You can email me, and I do answer. It might take me a minute because I'm always, it seems like I always got millions of emails, but I will answer, so you can email me. I'm on Facebook. If you'd like to be friends, you can keep up with me and the daily adventures of the Wee Wee Monster. The Wee Wee Monster is, of course, my Chihuahua, who is being so good. She has not gone off once since I've been on the phone, which I'm sure, you know, is making her crazy. But, yeah, I keep everybody updated about the Wee Wee Monster. And I'm on Facebook and MySpace and Shout Live, all the good stuff.
Praise God. Before we get ready to narrow the show down, I wanted to ask you, I know that you've shared so much with us, but could you just tell us about this ministry that God has given to you? What type of ministry has God entrusted you with?
Well, Broken Box Ministry, you know, our primary goal is to encourage and to educate and to evangelize and even to entertain, truthfully, because Christians need good Christian entertainment. You know, Jesus went to weddings and he danced, and, you know, a wedding is a big party. So we need those kinds of things. We definitely do. They just need to be godly in nature. And so our mission is to edify, to encourage, to evangelize, to educate, to entertain for the cause of Christ using the arts and education. And that happens in various ways. My music ministry, I do teaching and preaching and writing. We're about to start a new project called the Great CD Project. One of the things that I've discovered on one of my many, many, you know, social networking sites is that there are a number of ministries that are in desperate need of Christian material, CDs and DVDs and books. And I was trying to find something that I was really passionate about. Okay, once again, what's the problem? So I felt like, oh, maybe, you know, I should do a program for teen girls, or maybe I should do World Vision and recruit sponsors. And I would get, like, involved in this stuff. And after a while, I would just be like, okay, this isn't it. This isn't it. So what is it, Lord? And so I started talking to these pastors, one particularly in the Philippines, about his need for good Christian material. And you know what? I got excited because I know so many artists and people who want to get their music into the hands of people who need to be encouraged, and they can't afford, you know, to buy these CDs or to buy these books. And so I'm starting this project called the Great CD Project, even though we will be taking books and DVDs, to get these kinds of materials into the hands of these ministries that can share them with the people, or, you know, Christian hip-hop CDs to the inner-city ministries to give out to free to, you know, to teenagers, to minister to them. And so that's really important to me. And on various occasions, we do concerts, and we do a thing called Out the Box, where we have, it's like a Christian coffee house, do that every couple of months. And things are really interesting in kind of, I'm waiting now for the Lord to kind of show me what direction to go, because I recently moved to Nashville. I moved to Nashville in March. He told me to pack up, move to Nashville, so I've moved to Nashville. And all my ministry staff is in Dayton, so it's kind of like, okay, now what, Lord? But he's got a plan. I'm just kind of waiting for him to reveal it.
My. One thing listening to you, one thing I admire about you is that you are one of those women that when the Lord speaks, you're willing to go out and step into the water. And I thank God for that. And I thank God that you're on the show, that other women as well as men can hear that if God is something burning inside of you, you know that God has called you to do something, just step out in faith, step out into the water, and keep your eyes on Jesus and don't look back, because as like soon as we look back, that's when we start to get ready to sink.
Right.
And I thank you so much for your obedience unto the Father, and I thank you so much for all that you are doing for the kingdom. And it's about those lost souls out there. And
right.
I just thank God for you. I truly do. Mm-hmm. Now, is there any last-minute comments or words of encouragement that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, first, I'd like to thank you, Tracy, for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and I love getting an opportunity to meet new sisters and brothers in the Lord, and I appreciate the work that you're doing for the Lord, and I'm thankful that you gave me an opportunity to share my ministry with your listeners. And then I guess I would just tell people to go for it, you know, like the Lord said to Gideon, go with what you got, because I'm going with you. So whatever it is, go for it in the power of the Lord. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. It may not be or look like, you know, what you think it was going to look like when it's all said and done, but it'll be God's best for you if you just keep going. And if you fall down, you know, stub your toe, bump your knee, it's all right. Just get up and keep going, because God's got your back.
Amen. Well, it looks like I have someone that has a question or a comment for you, so let me bring them on.
Okay.
Area code 513, you're live on the air with a word for you. Do you have a question, comment, anything you want to say to our guest tonight?
Oh, yes, I just have a comment. I want to. This is my first time listening to your show, Tracy, and my first time hearing of you, Naima.
Okay.
And I'm very impressed with both of you. And you know, and I'm grateful, you know, saying to be just passing through. I usually don't even listen to Blog Talk Radio this time of the day. I'm not necessarily a car carrying Christian. I'm not necessarily a car carrying anything. I am an artist, a positive artist, and you know, very deep, very spiritually based, you know, very faith based. And I'm Chester, by the way.
Okay, Chester. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed.
Yes,
ahead.
I'm the comment.
Are you in Cincinnati?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because you said 513, and so I was like, oh, that's Ohio. Where in Ohio is that? Cincinnati. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the Chester that I just totally jacked up the whole name in the.
You know what? Hey, because you're doing a positive show, my name is actually, put it like this, you jacked it up because it's a play on words. It's actually profanity at the end of my name. So if you read it again, you'll see what I mean.
okay.
So your jacking up was just fine. It was all right.
That was a little hard. He was stepping in. That's too wild. But thank you, Chester. Though I appreciate you listening, and you know, you definitely will be in my prayers. And I know you know God loves you. You know, I'm not one of those people who be trying to hammer nothing on you. I'm just gonna let you know that Jesus loves you, brother.
I know. But I mean, I'm really listening because I too decided to deal with my artistry full time recently. Over just actually 2 years, I'm going into my third year. Dealing with, you know, saying artistry and you know, and trying to and being a hip hop artist, you know, not necessarily. Totally positive, but you know what I'm saying, I'm not never been on a drug or gun or violent stuff, so I'm kind of like more spiritual, kind of like soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hearing you speaking about you know acceptance, passion, you know what I'm saying, commitment, devotion, faith, and you know, and just, you know, and staying the course. As a matter of fact, I've never heard anyone else besides myself say just the phrase, as long as you're still breathing, you got time, until tonight.
Mm-hmm. Look at God.
That just blew me back. Because I've never heard anyone else say that before it came out of my mouth until just now. So it's like, wow.
Wow. Confirmation right there.
Oh, it is. It is. I don't believe in coincidences.
Right.
You know. Once again, I just want to thank you. I'm going to check out your site. I'm going to check out your music. I'll probably join a mailing list or something.
Oh,
Thank you. And my email is on there, so, you know, if you have any questions or want to discuss something, just shoot me an email. And like I said, I might take me a minute, but I will respond.
my question is, where are you located? Where do you perform and travel and, you know, or work is area?
I will be in Ohio quite a bit next month in July, in Fairborn, which, you know, is not on the other side of Dayton, not very far from where you are. So, but I travel the country. I just got back from Wisconsin. I do a lot on the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, Ohio. I live in Tennessee, but I lived in Fairborn, you know, right outside of Dayton for many years. Lived in Columbus, Ohio. Before that, lived in Delaware, Ohio. So Ohio is kind of like home because I lived there for years, and my godkids are there, my godbrothers and sisters. So I travel wherever the Lord leads, wherever the door is open. That's where we go, me and the Chihuahua.
Okay. Just you and the Chihuahua.
Me and the Chihuahua. Me and the road dog.
The Adventures of what was the name again?
Huh?
Yes, The Adventures of...
The Wee Wee Monster.
Yeah.
The Wee Wee Monster is the Chihuahua. Her name is Bianca, but we call her the Wee Wee Monster.
Okay, the Wee Wee Monster. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to let you close out your show. And once again, you know, saying thanks for, you know, for being an inspiration today. And thank you, Tracy, for having the show on. I'll be looking for you in the future, both of you.
All right.
Thank you, Chester. Thank you so much, God bless
sister.
You.
God bless you. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Chester, and we thank God for him on tonight as well, and I thank God for my guests on tonight and everyone that supported the show and everyone that's in the chat room and all that good stuff. So we're going to get ready to close this show out, and we're going to close it out with prayer. So, Naima, would you honor our listeners and most of all honor our Heavenly Father with closing us out with prayer, and I'll follow behind you and with some announcements, and that'll be the show.
All right. Okay. Well, Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, Lord, we lift your name up first and foremost. We honor you, we glorify you, and we thank you that there are no coincidences, that even this has been a divine appointment. I ask, oh God, first and foremost, for you to be glorified throughout all the earth, that men might know how gracious you are and how much you love them, that you died for them. And if it was only them, you still would have done it. Lord, I ask a special blessing on Tracy and her labor. Oh, God, I ask that you would just increase her territory, that you would just bless her because she's so faithful. She wants to serve you. So I ask for a special blessing on her. And I ask that you would provide everything she needs to do the work you've called her to do. And for each and every listener, those in the chat room, those on the phone, those listening now, and those who will listen later in the archives, I ask a supernatural blessing that they would be empowered to get up and do what you've called them to do for such a time as this, that they would not be hampered by the plans of the enemy or their own fear. Lord, that they would be empowered by your word to do the work you've called them to do. And, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to meet another wonderful sister in the Lord. I praise you and honor you and ask that you continually keep us in your sight. And we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you the glory tonight, Father. Hallelujah. We give you the honor tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise your holy name because there is none like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for clothing us in our right minds, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the activities of our limbs, oh God. We thank you for your new mercies and your new grace that you've showed us. We thank you for your only begotten Son that laid down his life on Calvary. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit which guides us into all truth. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the great I Am. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for another day that wasn't promised, oh God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for one more day to praise you, for one more day to give you the glory, for one more day to magnify your name, for one more day to minister your word, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody tonight, Father, has ailments in their body, God, and we know you as a healer, Father. So I ask that you heal that one that may be sick in their body on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for Naima on tonight, Lord. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for a fresh anointing to fall upon her, O God. Father, just strengthen her in every area that she may find herself weak at, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, give her your joy and your peace right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give her the words to speak, Father. Oh, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, O God. Father, I lift Chester before you tonight, Father. You know what he stands in the need of, O God. Continue to strengthen him, O Father. Continue to open up his eyes that he may see what it is that you have called him to do for such a time as this. Continue to open his ears, Father, that he may hear what you have called him to do at such a time as this, Lord. Keep your angels camped around him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I lift guest 2918 before you, Father. You know what he or she needs on today, Father. I pray thy will be done in the name of Jesus. I lift Tanya White before you on tonight, God. Have your way in her life, Father. Continue to strengthen her, Father. Continue to lead and guide her, Father. I lift caller 862 before you, Lord. You know what she stands in the need of, Father. I pray thy will be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, for one more day, Lord. One more time, Father. One more chance, Father, to just glorify you. One more chance, Lord, to love you. One more chance, Lord, to give you the glory. One more chance, Lord, to give you the praise. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people, Father. I pray thy will be done in Jesus' holy and righteous name. I say and I pray, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we just thank God. We thank God for everything he's done on today. We thank him for his new mercies, hallelujah, and his new grace on today, Lord, because you alone are worthy, Father. And thank you so much, Naima, for accepting the invitation to be on the show and blessing the listeners on today. And I know that people that were able to get on live right now, that they will listen to the archives and be blessed. And you continue to do what it is that God has called you to do for such a time as this. And I truly thank God for you. And you have a wonderful, wonderful evening in the Lord. And God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. So have a wonderful night. And I love you with the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Back to you. God bless. We'll be in touch.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, praise God. You have been listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda, as well as your host. And let me make a quick announcement before we close the show on tonight. A Word for You will be back on the air on Tuesday, June 30th at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My special guest will be Elizabeth Saxon. She is an actress, a singer, a songwriter, and a minister of the Word. The show topic will be, What Has Happened to the Church Jesus Built? Saxon will be discussing issues that are affecting the church building and the body of Christ. So if you can, join us live on Tuesday, June 30th, 2009, right here on A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. Again, the time is 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to thank each and every guest, Chester, guest 2918, guest Tanya White from Real Talk. She has a show right here on Blog Talk Radio as well. And also my guest that's on the switchboard, area code 862, and everyone else that showed up, and those that will be listening to the archives, thank you for supporting the show. And we're going to end this show now with this one of Naima's songs that I really, really like, and I know the name of it, and it's called The Lord Forgot. So I hope to hear you on Tuesday, and until then, remember to stay in the Word of God, because God is the Word, and he will speak to us through his Word. And remember to praise the Lord in good times as well as in bad times. And remember to worship him in spirit and in truth. And don't forget to pray without ceasing. Bye-bye.
Do you remember to give me daily bread?
sparrow by your hand is fed. You remember to wipe my tears, shield my pain, call the angels up by name. All known and all seeing God, I am glad there was something you forgot. Except the blood from Calvary's cross shed and applied to save the lost. Now I can turn without the fear. The Spirit of God is always near, forgiven forever. Because the Lord forgot.
A word for you right here on Blog Talk Radio. On A Word for You, we deal with everyday life and everyday issues that affect our lives and our communities, using biblical principles for answers and understanding. These sound biblical principles not only work in the spiritual realm, but also in other aspects of life. Here on A Word for You, we will uplift you, inspire you, inform you, educate, and encourage you. A Word for You will have an array of guests from book authors, men and women in ministries, organizations, motivational and inspirational speakers, artists, therapists, survivors, musicians, comedians, spoken word, and open mic discussions. We are here learning to live this life to the fullest, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting in the Word for direction, purpose, and guidance. Everyone has a story to tell. So call in with your questions or comments. The number is 347-945-5903. Once again, that number is 347-945-5903. We have a word just for you.